Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am joined by nobody because it is a Monday. It is a mailbag Monday, so I'm with you guys. I'm sitting right there in your car, judging you for the second Western bacon cheeseburger that you just... You didn't need the second one, you guys. You were good at one. Okay, yeah, I'm talking to myself right now. Anywho, today's show is going to be a really fun one. I have some really interesting questions. The questions as we get further into the offseason are getting a little bit more non-this Lakers team specific, which is a lot of fun as well. I always appreciate those. I have some about Lakers history, about all-time NBA history. There was a really interesting one that I'll probably get to in the second or third segment about all-time duos that I would create. So look forward to that one. You guys know where to find the show. You guys know where to find me. Let's dive right on into this because, once again, we are getting a ton of questions. And also, thanks to those who are just sharing some kind thoughts. I appreciate that a ton as well. So thanks to everybody who sent in questions. Those five-star questions is the best way to guarantee that your content gets on the show or your question gets on the show. Today's show is brought to you by Ease and by Shady Rays. More on both of those great companies in a little bit. Let's dive right down into this thing, though. So the first question comes from Lakers/Dodgers/Raiders. Hey, Anthony, love the new player reviews. Awesome move, guys. Feel free to disregard my previous follow-up cue if you find this one more interesting. What do you think about a Noah Dang swap? Dang might have real value as a practice body through training camp and the beginning of the season. He may help Kuz and B.I. work through what the team wants to implement on the wing this year with LeBron. And Noah could be an interesting November or December pickup. Though basically washed, his rebounding and offensive IQ might be a fit in spurts as part of a four-man plus LeBron depth chart at center. Dang would be a great mentor for Knox, Hazonia, and could actually see regular minutes with KP out. Win-win or too much baggage, it's the latter. It's the baggage. Maybe in terms of basketball fit, and one thing that we've kind of noticed, LeBron has kind of targeted players that he's had feuds with in earlier in his career. Him and Rondo had some crazy playoff battles. Lance, obviously, with the ear blow. And if you haven't checked that out, we wrote about Lance kind of reminiscing on that ear blow. That was interesting. But he's kind of targeted veterans that he has squabbled with a little bit, and Noah fits that profile. But the one thing that I think Dang deserves a lot of credit for, and he's had a couple outbursts here and there where he says he'd rather be elsewhere if the Lakers can't find a spot for him. But by all accounts, he hasn't created any kind of issues in the locker room itself. That the same can't be said about Noah. The Knicks basically have said, get out of here because you're creating problems with your frustration. So go enjoy your 70 whatever million dollars and bleach your hair again, right? So I think if you were just asking about basketball fit and if this was NBA 2K and you can just slide him in and give him minutes every so often, maybe there's a thought process there, though I think he's pretty thoroughly washed at this point. I just think Dang, for everything that's been said about how terrible his deal is and how badly the Lakers want to move on from it, he has been a good soldier here, right? He has been a good teammate. By all accounts, all the guys speak highly of him when they talk about his mentorship. So I think there's still value there. Whereas there's a possibility for a net loss if you switch him for Joakim Noah. Next question. This is basically I'm not going to read all of them. I should have paraphrased the last one, but I'm going to paraphrase a lot of these. This comes from Geomes1. Basically, do I think Jesse Buss and Ryan West are maybe not getting enough credit for what they've done with the scouting department? I don't think they're lacking for praise. I think everybody just, you know, is pretty pleased with the job that they've been able to do in those positions. So much so that I don't think it's we're too far removed from Ryan West really vaulting up targetability charts for higher positions elsewhere in the NBA. And that's going to be something that the Lakers are really going to want to think about is do they want to let him get away? And what would it take to keep him there? At some point, he's going to want his own team, and it's just a matter of when, not if. The nice thing about Jesse Buss being around, though, is that he's a Buss sibling. And so it depends. You don't quite know how much of the work West is doing compared to Jesse Buss or whatever, but he's not going anywhere. He has ownership stake in the Lakers. He's sticking around for the long term here. And even if it is, you know, Ryan West that's doing the majority of the heavy lifting when it comes to the scouting department, well, Jesse Buss is still learning from that, right? And the thinking is that eventually, if Ryan West or when Ryan West gets his own team, hopefully Jesse Buss will be ready to take on the scouting department by himself at that point. But in general, I don't think we'll ever reach a time where those guys don't get enough praise for the amount of work that they're doing here. It's been pretty incredible. Not very many teams have the track record that the Lakers do late in the draft. And the second half of this question is basically whether Sfi can be Kuzma part two. I don't know. He was picked, 20 spots later? So it's hard to predict anything from a number 47 pick. But he certainly looked great in summer league, and the Lakers thought he was a first-round talent. So they certainly think highly of him. And generally speaking, if they think highly of somebody, it usually works out in that player's favor. The next question here, I really appreciate, you know, those of you who are supporting through kind words and stuff. I really appreciate that. And actually, that brings me to my next point here. The other way that you can really show more support of the program is by supporting the companies that choose to support us. So in this case, it's Eaze. It's EAZE.co/LockedOn, and you get $20 off of your first purchase. We're coming off of a weekend. We're heading into a longer weekend next weekend. So for those of you who would use it recreationally, go for it. Have your fun. I think more interestingly, though, is the various ways that cannabis is used to potentially ease pain, and no pun intended there, for once. But look, if you're living in pain and pills aren't working for you, do a ton of research. I can't say this enough. Do all the research here. Don't take any shortcuts. And if you do find out that cannabis is the way for you, or is the right look for you, well, then hop on Eaze. If you're in the greater LA area and you don't want to drive into, you don't want to find a place where you can buy marijuana or cannabis, whatever, hop on Eaze, and they have everything. They have the oils, the creams, the pens, the flowers, the edibles, pre-rolls, and in some cases, pet products. They deliver right to your door, a la Uber Eats or Postmates, and it's really easy. So hop on Eaze and use that. Go to Eaze.co/LockedOn to get $20 off your first purchase, or go to the Eaze app and put in the promo code there for $20 off your first purchase. And yeah, let's see if you can improve your life if it's something that you're really looking into. Another quick second here, and we'll be right back with more of your questions. All right, so here's the question that I teased at the top of the show. This is another really good one. But basically, this is from Vujicic Fan, a friend of the show. You've sent in multiple questions, and I appreciate that. But basically, they're asking, they go through the list of all-time Lakers. They have Magic, Kobe, Kareem, Shaq, West, et cetera, for all-time great Lakers, and how it's actually a legitimate conversation at the top of the Lakers franchise. And very few organizations have that kind of history where you do need to have a conversation about who is the greatest, whatever, Buck or I guess Bull's pretty easy because of Jordan. And so the question here is, how many teams out there have just easily answerable questions. They also list Dirk as Dallas. Obviously, Bulls have MJ. The Bucks one is going to be interesting because I don't know if Giannis at his peak is ever going to approach what Kareem was. But if you're talking about greatest Bucks career ever, I think Giannis has the potential to surpass Kareem there. In Boston, it's kind of iffy, right? Because you have Larry Bird, KG at his prime when he was a Celtic is about as good as they've ever seen in terms of talent there. Trying to think, you got in Seattle / OKC, Kevin Durant or Gary Payton / Sean Kent, you know, the KD Russell Westbrook or Gary Payton and Sean Kemp. That's an interesting one as well. There are a ton. I think what this reiterates though for the Lakers is honestly, given the day, you could have this conversation. You could say, well, if Magic never gets hurt or not hurt, but if he never contracts HIV, you're talking about maybe the greatest player ever, right? He had that kind of potential, and he was going to age really well. Kareem, in my opinion, is one of the most underrated athletes ever. He, for some reason, we talk about, you know, who's the best ever and who's second best ever, and right now it seems to be isolated between Michael Jordan and LeBron James. And I would say, well, there's this Kareem guy who won in high school, who won in college, who is the all-time leading scorer in the history of the game, won finals MVPs 14 years apart compared to some guys' careers who didn't even last 14 years period. That you can go with prime Shaq for the Lakers is maybe the most dominant force the NBA has ever seen. We're pretty blessed when you really think about it as Laker fans. We're doing all right. We're not much to complain about. Next question here comes from ? KE. Hey, Anthony, love the show, especially when you troll Harrison. I will always do that. Keep up the good work. Now that the disaster of Tyler Ennis is gone, thank God, which Laker do you see becoming your next target as the biggest what the hell are you doing player? And then the second part of this question, half of this question, is after seeing that Instagram picture of LeBron playing with Kawhi and Durant, and don't forget Chetty Osman, who between those two guys, Kawhi and Durant, are most likely, and maybe both of them, is that a possibility? I'll answer the first one. It's going to be KCP. As solid as he was last year, and I think will be next year, and if you didn't listen to Tim and I talk about KCP, make sure you guys go back and check that episode out from last Friday. But every so often, he just does things that you just, like, what, how, why? You really thought that throwing the ball off the backboard was going to work out well for you here without the verticality ability that you have compared to Kobe or LeBron, who can make that play happen. And not only that, but you thought, I need to throw this ball so high that it's going to hit the back. It's going to miss the backboard and hit the 24-second shot clock. That's the play you think the Lakers needed to make in that situation. And look forward to those. And then look forward to LeBron doing the J.R. Smith, like, what are you doing, you know, kind of thing. To answer that other question, I don't think Durant is going to want to come to L.A. with LeBron in tow. Are on the roster, and it's mostly because, like, right now his thing in Golden State is, even though he is easily the Warriors' best all-around player in terms of individual talent and ways that he can impact the game, that's always going to be Steph's team. And LeBron having come here first, this is always going to be LeBron's team. I don't think Kawhi cares as much about that. It doesn't seem like that to me. Maybe it's something that he really does. Honestly, there's no way to know anything about Kawhi because he just doesn't speak. But Durant, I think we're starting to learn what he seems to prioritize in terms of situation. And I just don't know if the Lakers present enough of those things. I actually think he winds up in New York on the Knicks, but that's a complete guess. It's a shot in the dark. I'm going to take another quick second here, and then we'll get back to answering your questions. But before we do that, I want to talk to you guys about Shady Rays. Today's show is brought to you by Shady Rays. It's an independent sunglasses company, and I wore a pair of Shady Rays sunglasses all weekend. It just absolutely loved them. They're super light. The model that I was wearing all weekend, they were the wooden ones with a black look on there. It wasn't too dark though, to where like you felt like you were indoors the whole time, which was nice. My wife, I gave a pair of sunglasses to Jen, knowing full well that there was a good chance she was probably going to lose them. And lo and behold, we thought she did. It just, as it turns out, my buddy swooped him for, he's returning him. But if he wasn't going to, and if he was a shady dude, we would be fine. They have a replacement policy as long as it's a lifetime warranty. It's a lifetime guaranteed warranty. And it's a great policy that they have there. If you break it, if you lose them, you just pay for shipping and handling, and they'll send you out a new pair. And if you go to ShadyRays.com and use the promo code BOGO, B-O-G-O, like buy one, get one, you get 50% off of two or more products that you buy. So if you, the more you buy, the more you wind up saving there. And so they are just, I can't say enough about how comfortable the glasses were that I was wearing this weekend. They were phenomenal glasses. It's a nice peace of mind knowing that if somebody sat on them, or I dropped them in the pool, or I dropped them in the ocean, if I was in the ocean, I wouldn't have to worry about it. That says a lot about how they feel about their product. So check out ShadyRays.com, enter the promo code BOGO to get 50% off two or more products that you purchase. That's exclusive to those of you listening to the show right now. Another quick second here. When we come back, I'm going to answer the remaining questions that you guys left me. All right, three questions left. This first of those three, from Trip B4C. So my question is more of a statement. You guys talked about Kobe being able to guard current players and play at that level. You talked a bit about one thing that I remember from that time is that he started a new diet and training trends and basically completely reinvigorated his career by way of really focusing on his body. This is Kobe, by the way. And the premise of the question is whether with that being the focus that it is with all the NBA players now and how far that has come, whether that would make Kobe even better. And that's always the tough thing. And that's one of the things that Pete and I talked a lot about is it's really hard to compare eras because like Jerry West didn't have access to, like he played in Converse, right? And they rode buses to games and you know, Magic Johnson's diet and exercise plans are nowhere near as strict as Kobe's were. And we know that Kobe was really strict with his. And if he was presented with the newer technology that we have now and the new, to me, I think the more interesting thing with Kobe is the style of play and how he would have tweaked his game to modernize his game. But yeah, I mean, the one thing that I think I'm willing to give Kobe the benefit of the doubt here is he would take advantage of it. I don't think that's always necessarily the case with all athletes ever, that I'm willing to just say, oh yeah, drop them in with this current regimen of diet and exercise and strength and conditioning and those things, and they would just immediately pick it up and make enough of a difference to be able to catch up to where we are with modern human bodies. And so in Kobe's case, so he was recent enough that he was still size-wise, he had good enough size at his position to be able to take advantage of all of the new technology that goes into how crazy athletic these guys can be. And he would have been just fine. He would have been great even. It's actually kind of a bummer. I would have loved to seen him grow up or come up with the style of thinking that this game is approached with now and see what that player turns into. All right, here's the question that I teased at the beginning of the show. What two players in NBA history would make the best duo? And I can't include any that actually happened. Kobe, Shaq, MJ, Pippen, whatever. So I thought about this one a ton. I actually, I, I, I'm recording this at 1 in the morning, and I would have been recording this at, you know, 12:30, 12:45-ish, and I was just kind of racking my brain for how this one would actually go or what some of these duos would actually look like. And, you know, you start by saying, all right, we'll just get the two greatest players ever, and you go with MJ and Kareem, say, right? And they would be great, although I don't know necessarily if they're talents would intermingle to make them actually a great duo. And then the other thing too is like, are we putting these guys into the construct of a team concept here, right? And is there a style of play that a coach could put in to allow MJ and Kareem be as good a dynamic or as dynamic a duo as they could theoretically be, right? And you know, you think, all right, well, if it isn't MJ and Kareem, how about MJ and LeBron? How would that work? And some of the same kind of issues pop up, though I think exacerbated by the fact that LeBron probably needs to have the ball in his hands and MJ operated with a crazy high usage percentage, right? So the one that I can't, and it might be a recency bias, but KD and LeBron, if they were both in their prime, would be, I mean, you could build any team around them, right? If you wanna put a more classic center there and have the rim protection and see how that team looks, I think you can go that route. If you wanna just go completely positionless, you can put KD at the five and LeBron at the four and then surround them with the wings and shooting to make that work. Both those guys are crazy good and crazy efficient. So where if you want LeBron to kind of dominate the ball, you can have KD off of it a little bit more and be perfectly fine. So I would go KD and LeBron and then build my team around them. And that would be the, in my opinion, the greatest duo that you can put together. But there is no, well, there are very few, realistically speaking, wrong answers here, right? There's a ton of really good players that like Magic and Bird. If you were to just put both those guys on the team at the same time, I'd watch that. Especially if you were able to modernize Bird's game and have him shoot more three pointers, I think that would be a really interesting one as well. So let me know what you guys think at me with those things at Anthony Irwin LA or at Locked On Lakers, and let me know what you guys think about the greatest duos that you could put together there. Last question here, and this is kind of a fun one. If Jack was to offer me his front row seat for a regular season game against the Celtics, but you know you had to sit between Jim Buss and Byron Scott, would I go? Absolutely. And I would record that thing. I'd D'Angelo Russell both of them. I would love to sit in on those conversations and just how bitter both of the, because you would imagine like Byron Scott gets fired, the Lakers bring in Luke, and then LeBron shows up. Like Byron's probably sitting there because he isn't particularly self-aware. He's probably thinking, God, this could have been my team. No, probably wouldn't have. And if it was, you'd have everybody shooting mid-range jumpers and you'd ask Kobe to come out of retirement and give him the ball way too much. You'd have Jim Buss probably thinking to himself, God, if you guys would have just waited, we could have made this happen. And that's probably not quite true either. And if it was true, then LeBron probably walks all over him and the relationship that isn't quite as fruitful as I think it's going to be with LeBron and Magic being in place. So that would be absolutely incredible. I would 100% sign up for that and hope that both guys haven't heard the stuff that I've said about them in my writing or on the show. That'll do it though for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. Again, brought to you by Ease and by Shady Rays. Check out both of those products, both of those companies. I wouldn't send you guys there if I didn't believe in both of them. Make sure you guys are checking out all of there are other ads that are going to pop up here as well. Check out all those companies and continue to support the companies that have supported us. And speaking of support, I cannot thank you guys enough for the questions that you guys continue to send in. This has been a lot of fun. This is a little bit shorter of a show, but we're 5 days a week now. Check us out. We have a fun player preview coming for you tomorrow and then through the rest of the week. So make sure you guys are checking that out. Have a great rest of your day, and I will talk to you again mañana.